time for Coffee with the Chicken Ladies, a podcast for people who love chickens.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's Chrissy and Holly from Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. We're here, and this is episode number 150 of our podcast, where we talk about everything chicken, family, fun, and
more chickens.
More chickens. We drink a ton of coffee. I'm talking a ton. But most importantly,
we hug chickens every day.
And we kiss them, too. Don't forget, we brew coffee from a little coffee house in historic Gettysburg, PA. Bantam Coffee Roasters. Holly Ann, what kind of coffee are we brewing today?
We are brewing the rich and delicious Costa Rican coffee.
So good with that pumpkin spice creamer. Where can everybody get theirs?
BantamRoasters.com.
And follow them on social media.
Wait, what pumpkin spice creamer? I have pistachio creamer in mine.
Uh-huh. I have pumpkin spice.
You're holding out. It's probably full of dairy. I can't have it.
Okay, so are you ready to sip some of this delicious coffee and chat?
I am, but first, a word from our sponsor.
We have some exciting news to share from our sponsor, Grubly Farms. They're here, new and improved, Grubly's World Harvest.
I'm a longtime subscriber, and my flock love the healthy, nutritious treats, plus orders $40 and more ship free.
If you haven't heard, Grubly's has a fantastic layer pellet and crumble feed. It's packed with plant and insect protein, perfect for those picky chickens and ducks.
Grubly Farms makes food and treats for healthy pets and planet.
To support us and Grubly's, go to our website or our show notes and use the link. Try it today.
Okay, so how are you doing?
I'm great. I have had a bumper crop of chestnuts this year.
Oh, yes, you have.
I mean, like buckets of chestnuts. It's crazy.
They're roasting on an open fire.
I'm collecting them. Eventually, what I need to do is cut and remove the shell and then put them in my dehydrator, and I'm making chestnut flour with them.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then can we roast them by an open fire?
No, because I can't eat roasted nuts right now. Until my dental work is completely done.
Man.
I know I'm eating like everything soft food, so.
We can somehow roast them into oblivion or something.
Why are you trying to roast them into oblivion?
So you can eat them.
No, I think flour is the only way we're going with this.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So the other thing I wanted to mention is if you're on Instagram and you follow us, join in on this challenge that we're in right now. It's the Fall Homestead 2023 challenge.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
It's actually the Fall Homestead Share 2023 challenge. And it's a lot of fun. Every day we do a different theme. So you get to creative with your videos and your posts.
Oh, there have been some fantastic things up. We're only, well, I guess we're 10 days in here, and there have been some fantastic posts up.
And I come in and I share some really good ones on our stories every day, and I love giving the shares out. So join in the challenge with us. There's nothing going on except for following the five hosts that were these lovely ladies that we're working with. Follow all of us and join in on the themes. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is.
We had some fun with our pumpkin spice coffee.
Yes, we did. Well, we're starting to get Halloween-y over here.
Today, we're wearing matching Halloween shirts.
It's a witch on a broomstick.
With her chicken.
Chicken on the broomstick with her.
We love it. We love it.
The ultimate Halloween t-shirt.
That's really good. And I'm
love fall. Plus, they were on sale.
They were on sale. They're originally $9.99, but we got them for
$7.99. Bargain.
Plus tax. Don't forget the plus tax. So what else is going on with you?
We're starting to do cold weather prep. I've been looking for a really reliable farm sitter for when we go to the Ohio Nationals.
Road trip.
I really need someone reliable, you know, that I can trust while we travel.
Yeah, because I will be with you. So I will not be that person.
Right. So I have someone lined up. Cross our fingers that works. And other than that, I like to do a fall cleaning of the house and the coops and the barns. Do you do that?
Yes. I feel like every day I'm doing a fall, winter, and summer, and spring cleaning of everything. I'm trying.
It's a daily seasonal clean.
Yeah. Like right now, in the beginning of October is that good time to winter prep, which we're going to be talking about in the main topic later. But yeah, it's that good time to go through everything and see what you have to do while it's like 60 degrees here, 55 right. to 70 degrees. And if you have a really nice day, that's great. We had some days in early October that were like 80 degrees and it felt like summer.
Oh yeah, that was way too warm.
I'm like, come
on,
fall
bad for the animals.
Back. Falling leaves and it's 85. No, it just doesn't seem right.
No. It's cooling off again though. It's okay.
It's good. So on that note, If you're listening to our show and you're loving it, head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a written review. It does amazing things for the growth of our show. While you're there, hit that subscribe button for two reasons. The first thing is you never miss an episode. And the second thing is it's really a really great way to help the podcast grow also.
If you're looking for other ways to support the podcast, you can share your favorite episodes on social media. You can tell a few chicken-loving friends about the podcast.
Like 5 million.
Check out our Etsy shop. We still have a few mugs left. We have a few shirts left.
And we're selling
we have
everything.
A few chickens left. We really are selling things very quickly.
Right at this moment, we only have one little hen left. So be the one that gets it.
Right.
Holly's been sewing up a storm.
You can become a patron of the show. Visit patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Check out our levels of membership. We have an amazing group. Thank you again to all of our patrons.
Thank you. We love you girls.
And the other thing you can do to help support the show is visit our show notes and our website, use our affiliate links and discount codes, and buy products from our sponsors.
Yay!
Hey, Chris.
Yeah?
Do you like subscription boxes?
Does it have anything to do with chickens?
Of course.
Then yeah. Let me take a minute to tell you about the Chicken Love Box. If you love goodies for your chickens and you need to go to chickenlove.com.
I love the Mega Box. Tons of useful products for my flock and a chicken tea for me.
You can't go wrong with a chicken tea. They are so cute and so soft.
In the August box, I absolutely love those amazingly good-smelling NestBox herbs and that giant roll of rooster stickers.
They're great. I love the wood decorative plate. It's going up in our studio today. And with all my baking, those egg separators are going to work awesomely.
Boxes start at $39 a month. They ship immediately after your order, and shipping is always free.
Such a great deal. Don't wait. Get off the nest and click already. Use the code CWTCL50 for 50% off your first box of a 3-month subscription or more. That's chickenlove.com. That's chickenluv.com. Get your subscription today.
Have you heard of Strong Animals Chicken Essentials? They make natural supplements for your flock.
Strong Animals has used plant-based products and natural approaches to promote the health and vitality of backyard flocks. Their products contain organic essential oils, prebiotics, and other natural ingredients to support the immune system and digestive health. Give your chicks and chickens what they need to thrive with Strong Animals health products. Visit GetStrongAnimals.com today.
The Breed Spotlight is brought to you by Murray McMurray Hatchery, defining quality for generations. For over a century, Murray McMurray Hatchery has remained a trusted family-owned business, working tirelessly to ensure our poultry meet the highest standards.
Whether you are an experienced enthusiast or just embarking on the journey, look to McMurray Hatchery for guaranteed quality rare and heritage breeds, low minimums, and all the supplies you need to raise your flock. Request a free catalog today.
It's time for Breed Spotlight. Yeah.
What that? I don't know. That was all over the place.
It was.
It's like you're starting out singing opera and then you ended on
like hardcore.
Is that what that was?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's how whatever comes out at that moment, it comes out.
Okay.
Okay. So this week's Breed Spotlight is?
The Old English Pheasant Fowl.
Yes, it is.
Now this is a special breed of chicken. They are very beautiful. They are very old and they are very rare.
Yes, they are.
They are. They were probably developed in the north of England around Yorkshire and Lancashire. They've been around for several hundred years, but with a few different names. So it can get confusing in there. At one point in the 1800s, they were often lumped in with Hamburgs.
What?
Right. But they are a distinct breed from the Hamburg. They come in two color varieties, gold and silver.
Right.
But the silver are very, very rare.
Yeah, when you look them up, you very rarely even see the silver, or even having any pictures of them on the internet, which is odd, you know? So they're really hard to find. Oh,
they are.
Wait, maybe? There we go.
Wow, they're pretty. They look like a silver spangled spitzhoppen in a bit.
They do. I mean,
that's very pretty.
I'm surprised that I did find the pictures, but they're really cute.
And you're not going to find the silver in the U.S. to the best of my knowledge, but we'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
We're going to be concentrating on the gold because that's what you can get in the U.S. and you can get it easier in the U.K.
Right. And our friends over at Greenfire Farms have
the gold, right?
The gold.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that later. But yes, if you're looking at this chicken and you're like, oh, I need this chicken, you can get them here.
Wow, the silver's really, that's stunning.
They're cute, aren't they?
Yeah. If you're wondering about the name, no, they are not pheasants.
They're just called pheasant fowl.
Right. They were officially given this name, the Old English pheasant fowl, around 1914. And it was really to distinguish them from Hamburgs and red caps and some of those other local names.
Right.
We talked about them when we did the Hamburgs, the Moonies, mm-hmm. and the various, like the moss pheasant, all those names.
They all kind of have a similar look to them. A little bit. They're all smaller in size. They all kind of have the spangles.
The spangles, yes. The spangles will be a little different, and we'll talk about that as we go along. But they're distinct enough that if you put the work in, you can recognize the differences.
Oh, yeah.
But for people who really weren't seeing all these different birds to hash out the differences, it was probably just easier to lump them all together.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they're all small bodied around the same size, and then you just put them in a big lump and say, okay, this is the group.
Now, at some point in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, poultry fanciers realized that all of these breeds were starting to disappear.
Yeah, the same old story.
Right. So they set out to conserve them. And as they were doing that, they also realized that they were dealing with a lot of distinct regional breeds. Now, according to the Rare Breed Survival Trust, the Old English pheasant fowl were popular with smallholders until the 1950s. But of course, they were never used in industrial settings for obvious reasons.
Like all of them.
Right. They would not cope with industrial conditions, and the hens don't lay nearly enough eggs to compete with commercial hybrid layers.
Let's put it out there. If you were a chicken that was not used for the industrial egg laying industry, you were lucky.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the part where you were unlucky was you were unpopular and, you know, we
numbers
had to come
are
in
dwindling.
And, right. We had to come in and kind of help save the breed. But in reality, you were not put into those horrendous situations where you had to lay these eggs for an industrial purpose.
Right,
so you were kind of lucky, but you needed some help in the end.
Yes.
So that's a good thing, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's hard to find a lot of definite history on this bird. I found mentions here and there, not a lot of concrete stuff. In the poultry book that was published in 1867, W.B. Tegetmeier writes about the golden pheasant fowl. His description of the golden pheasant fowl does fit the modern Old English pheasant fowl.
Mm-hmm.
He contrasts the pheasant fowl with the gold Moonies. Now, during the Hamburg episode, we mentioned the Moonies.
Yes.
Moonies are smaller, and they have a round spangle at the end of their feathers, hence the moon.
Right.
In contrast, the pheasant fowl have a crescent-shaped black spangle at the end of their bay-brown feathers.
I mean, you gotta look close.
But once you see it, you can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it. And once they're your chickens, you're going to be looking at them and notice that difference.
Right. In Ornamental and Domestic Poultry, written in 1848 by Edmund Dixon, he describes the appearance of a moss fowl, which he also lumps in as a subvariety of the Hamburg.
Okay.
And his description sounds like an Old English pheasant fowl to me. It has a large, very double rose comb, the same colors and markings. Essentially, all of the 19th century writers have lumped this breed in with the Hamburgs.
But their combs are larger.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot larger.
Yeah, yeah. They have a very large rose comb.
I mean, there are some distinct differences.
Yes.
Here, for sure.
That very large, very double comb that...
I think it was just these people getting lazy, to be honest with you.
I think there was some of that. I also think that what I was saying before, it's easy for us to pull up a whole bunch of photos of them and compare and say, look, these look this
way. That wasn't
there. Right. They didn't have the ability to do this.
Well, we were kids. We had to go to the computer lab once a week and look at our computers and just learn because they were brand new.
Well, that's when we were, teenagers?
When we were in middle school and high school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we didn't even have it in the beginning. There was books and encyclopedias.
And there wasn't the internet yet.
I remember having the set of encyclopedias in the hutch.
Yeah.
And when you wanted to do a project, I mean, it was boring. You had the same set of encyclopedias. You had to keep looking up the same stuff.
You do know you're talking to someone who made her career as a librarian.
But I'm talking about encyclopedias here.
They're wonderful vessels filled with rich information.
From 1955.
They were often outdated, however.
Yes, that's what happened.
Yeah,
You got like one set for your whole life and the stuff needed to be updated.
Oh, yeah. We had the Funkin' Wagnalls. And I looked at them recently because my mom still has
them. My mom still has them, too.
And I was like, some of these maps do not exist anymore.
Right. And then you wanted to do a report on dinosaurs. So there would be four paragraphs on dinosaurs and that was it.
Right.
You know, so the internet does add so much to looking at these pictures up close and the information. I totally 100% agree with you.
You know, if you're talking about the early 1900s, there's better travel throughout the UK. You know, people could more easily, if they were going around trying to find these birds to conserve, They had better transportation, better ways to get to different flocks.
I wish there were more illustrations then from that point.
Right.
Because if, you know, like say people like Arthur out there that love to draw these birds, right?
He's Arthur drawing, Parkinson.
Right. He's drawing them exactly as he sees them. Right. He's actually acting as a chicken historian.
It's documentation. It actually is documentation.
So that was still available, but people were so busy trying to survive at that point that they're not like, okay, I'm going to sketch my chicken's exact feather pattern.
You know, being a good writer does not equate to being a good illustrator. You're gifted if you can do both of those things.
I can draw a stick chicken.
They're excellent. Your stick chickens are.
They're pretty good.
I can draw reasonably well, but I have to spend an awfully long time doing it.
We need Sophia to draw the stuff for us because she can draw like crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it. But I wish that, you know, they had somehow separated them back then.
Right.
But,
so what this
but
comes
it's changed.
Down,
now they
right.
are.
What this comes down to is that all of those early writers pretty much lumped all these different breeds together. So if we jump back to the present.
Right. Let's jump back to the present.
And we're going to talk about what they look like.
Let's take a look at them. They have some iridescent black spangles on rich mahogany brown colored body feathers.
Yeah. It's Woo! Really pretty.
It's really pretty. I mean, there is something very special about chickens with the green iridescent.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It's one of my favorite things.
Again, their spangles are crescent shaped.
They are. So don't mistake in them. Now, right. they have black hackle and neck feathers and black tails.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a nice contrast in there.
It's really pretty. Yeah.
And we said it before. They have the large, those frilly, really large rose combs. They're not my favorite. They give me the willies a little.
Oh, my Lord, not this again. I like them, but they're large and frilly, and they also usually end in a spike
they
in the back.
Do. So you have to be really careful with these because that could just freeze off.
Yeah, and that's not good. Yeah.
The smaller ones don't give me the same feeling, but it's like, oh my Lord,
woman.
It's got the chills.
Why? It's just a comb.
I don't know why. So they have clean slate legs. Those are really cool looking mm-hmm. with all the different colors. And their feet are the same colors. Thank goodness we're not like different color legs and feet. That would be bad.
Actually, that'd be kind of cool. I like that.
This chicken has yellow feet and slate legs. I would be like, I need it tomorrow.
That's a fancy chicken, right?
So like I said before, they're little. They're light bodied. They're in that class. And they're classed as the light breed in the UK. So let's look at weights.
Hmm.
Males are coming in at about 4.5 to 6. That's a little wider of a range.
They did have a wider range, yeah.
So normally if you have 4.5, it's to 5.
Mm-hmm.
So 4.5 to 6 means we could get a pretty big, a medium-sized bird in there.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this more in a bit, but some of the males I think are bred to be bigger because they were used as dual purpose.
Okay. Now, the hens are 4 to 5, which that's where you would think they would be. And we have noted that the chicks are pretty beautiful.
Oh, they're really pretty.
So they have really dark bodies with golden heads. How can you go wrong
with
that?
It's really cute. I love the chicks.
So we know everybody's waiting to hear these egg statistics. Hens, they're pretty decent layers. Okay. Medium size white eggs. If you want those colored rainbow eggs to pop, you need chickens to lay white eggs.
You do. A white egg in your basket shows off all the colors. It really does.
You need a white egg. Trust us. And they're about 150 to about 200 per year. So they're all right. They're okay.
It can depend on the bloodlines. I mean, I saw 150. I saw 160. I saw lines at, you know, 200 a year.
If you're a family to 4 to 6, that's going to feed you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And they start laying around 7 months. They're a heritage breed.
Right.
That's going to be what it is. Now, the hens do go broody and they make good mamas. So if you don't want them sitting on eggs, you're going to have to deal with a little bit of broodiness.
I didn't see anyone saying that their broodiness is like at Orpington level or Cochin level. So.
Or Samifavoral's level.
Yeah, that remains to be seen.
Ooh.
So in the UK, some still use this bird as dual purpose, which makes them a good breed for small holdings or homesteads when you're producing your own meat.
Okay. And they're very active.
Very active. They reportedly don't like confinement, but Fiona has told us that they actually do well in her enclosed high tunnel during flock down.
Right.
I mean, she makes it really neat with all kinds of enrichment in there.
And she's usually out with them most of the day. So
I think it's confinement in narrow spaces probably is very bad for active birds like this.
They're pretty friendly, but they're not going to be on our over cuddly scale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start coming out with a cuddle scale.
A cuddle scale? Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
On a 1 to 5, 1 being least cuddly, 5 being most.
They're probably a 2.
Okay.
They like to be around you, but they are not going to want to be picked up and hugged a lot.
Like so many of those intelligent and little sprightly chickens are like that.
I will have to say this, and I know I talk about these birds constantly, but they're the love. I love the Houdans. They always want you.
Yes, they do.
They're my kind of bird.
I know. I was holding
Celeste today.
Celeste, my family namesake.
And she's just like...
She's just hanging out.
Yeah.
She's completely happy. Yeah.
They're a 5+.
Yeah, they really are. They are.
Okay, but this, I would think there are 2. They like to hang out with you. They like to be around you, which is great.
They are very good flyers, and they will roost in trees.
Yeah. So you need a tall aviary with a roof.
Yes.
For them, or you're going to be chasing them out of a tree.
Or, you know, if you're going to do free range, you know, you definitely want to supervise them so you don't lose track of them.
Right.
I would free range them in a place where there are some lower vegetation, like bushes and things. That might, if they can get under cover in bushes, it might stop them from trying to fly into the trees.
Exactly. Let's think back to Peggy. It is not fun trying to get a small bird out of a big tree.
Oh, no, no, no.
No.
They're going to be very happy helping to turn over garden beds and compost piles. You know, again, active little chickens. They're a great addition for anyone who loves history. I mean, this is an ancient breed of chicken.
So do you see this chicken in your flock?
I have debated about them many times, back and forth.
Oh, I know you have. I just had to ask the question outright.
Can I see them in my flock? They would have their own run and coop, probably.
How many runs and coops are you going to have?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, all the ones that you want, they need their own runs and coops.
It could be that I have them down the line. I'm not saying I'm getting them right now.
I'm coming over because, I mean, you're going to have like 20 runs and coops.
Oh, God, don't say that.
That would be great.
No, you just made me speechless. I don't know. I have 8 right now. I don't need. Anyway, reportedly, they do well in mixed flocks.
So you don't need it. You don't need it.
They can. Who would I put them in with, though?
Ayumi?
But then they'd
And the Andalusians?
The Andalusians.
They would all be around the same.
The leg bars.
They would all be around the same size and everything.
Activity level. They may be. Okay.
You don't need their own running flock.
Okay. There we go. They're quick enough to escape being bullied, but we probably wouldn't keep them confined with any of the stronger tempered breeds.
Yeah. They're quick enough to get away from predators, but why chance it?
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Supervised free range is the way to go.
Well, you know, if any bird, even the savviest bird, if a predator comes upon them at the wrong place and time,
and here's
that's where the expression sitting duck comes from.
Exactly. And here's my thing. If you raise them from day old chicks, right, and you give them a nice aviary that's nice and big,
yeah,
and they're introduced to that from the very beginning, and they learn that way of life of, I'm going to get an hour out in the evening, 2 hours out in the evening with my owner, or my mom or dad, and then I'm in this great space for the rest of the time. They don't know anything else. That is a wonderful life for them, and it keeps them safe.
Absolutely.
I really believe that truly, because they need some assistance in keeping them safe. And these big aviary runs are the way to go.
Oh, yeah. In the U.S., I mean, obviously, for our U.K. listeners, you don't have the aerial predators that we do, nor do you have raccoons and coyote that can jump fences.
It's not good.
But here in the U.S., I would not. So these birds are some of the rarest of the rare. I would never chance them with predators. No. I'd be heartbroken to lose any bird to a predator, but you really don't want to lose the rarest of the rare.
No, not at all.
So Greenfire Farm imported Old English pheasant fowl in 2018, and they are currently offering both straight run chicks and hatching eggs.
Yay.
I mean, that's a great opportunity to keep a very old, very rare, absolutely gorgeous breed of chicken.
That needs some help with breeding.
Yeah.
And when you have chicks that aren't offered as pullets versus cockerels,
right,
it's because, and they're only offered straight run, it's because this breed needs some assistance.
Right.
So that's why you have to take the chance and get the boy and get some breeding done so that we can get our numbers up.
And you know, honestly, these birds are not considered an American heritage breed. They're obviously a UK heritage breed,
right,
no doubt. But I will say, just going by my own historical research and my knowledge of early America, I would not have been surprised if some of these birds, the Old English pheasant fowl or some of the other, like the Moonies, some of the other smaller breeds, lumped in with the Hamburgs. I think they very easily could have been in early America as well as the Hamburgs.
I'm going to say this. I've said it before. They have the colonial look.
Yes, they have the colonial
look. There is a look.
Yeah.
They have it.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
But I mean, think about it. They could have come down, you know, via shipping routes and gone to the New World.
No doubt.
just as easily as any of the other small chickens, the Nankins, the Hamburgs.
No doubt.
And then the bigger breeds, the Dorkings.
Part of me thinks I was living back then as a colonial chicken lady.
You think so?
Maybe.
Where did you live? Williamsburg?
Around there.
Did you always have chicks?
Maybe I was always around here. I was just like, there is something that draws me back to that.
It's always really been cool. One of my areas of interest.
I do. Like, colonial times are so interesting to mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. I loved American history growing up in school. And the colonial times are they give me a feeling of nostalgia, that's for sure. Uh-huh. And you see that. So I'm always like, maybe I was a chicken lady back then.
It's entirely possible.
It is. So here's the part where we're going to say, if you own the old English pheasant fowl, send us pictures on Instagram. Actually, send us a story where you mention us so I can reshare this to our stories and we can share the old English pheasant fowl love.
Yeah, show off these beauties. These are just absolutely beautiful chickens. I guess, you know, they do have that old, you know, you're right. There is an old chicken look.
There is.
Even the Nankins, like, especially with the rose comb.
I don't know what it is.
It's, the Dorkings.
There's like that colonial to chicken look that you can tell that chicken probably was walking around.
Dominique's, you know? Rose comb, Nankins, totally. All of those, they just look like.
They do. Yeah. I don't know.
It quote just, unquote historical chickens.
It does.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a chicken coop that's produced in a planet-friendly, sustainable way, try Nestera. Each coop is made from highly durable, 100% recycled plastic that keeps the equivalent of up to 2,000 shampoo bottles out of a landfill. Their clean, modern design will fit into any garden or run area and comes with an industry-beating 25-year warranty and a range of handy accessories. Simple to put together, so quick and easy to clean, and most importantly, red mite resistant. Your chickens will love it. Quick shipping from Nestera.us. For a 5% discount, use the affiliate link in our show notes, on our website, and on Instagram. Link in bio. Check them out today. Roosties proudly sponsors Coffee with the Chicken Ladies.
We personally use Roosties products with our chickens, and we're huge fans.
They have their awesome nesting pads, do-it-yourself feeder and waterer kits, and they've just released their best product ever, a new chick feeder and waterer set.
They have adjustable legs to keep food and water clean. They're super well made, and the feeder even has a removable lid so it can easily be filled from the top.
So if you're raising chicks or keeping chickens, all their products are available for prime delivery on Amazon.com.
Check out the Roosty store on Amazon or follow the link in our show notes.
Okay, so are you ready to move on to main topic? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This week's main topic, it's that old time that comes around again. And what we're talking is
cold weather prep.
Cold weather prep. Ooh. Now, hey, the almanac just came out. I saw it on Facebook of mine. Lots of snow due to El Nino this year for us.
I know. And El Nino is the only thing that makes me think it is possible. The last couple of years, we're supposed to have lots of snow and we didn't.
But we weren't in El Nino.
Right. That's the whole thing. The other thing I will say is that all of my trees, my pines, my chestnuts, like,
oh, people talk about if you drop a bunch of nuts, that, I'm sorry, it's going to be cold and it's going to be snowy.
Well, my trees are loaded with pine cones and chestnuts and everything else.
Yeah, yeah. I heard that.
I hope that's wrong.
Me too, because I don't like chicken keeping in the snow. I don't like it.
We're just going to have to see what effect climate change has on El Nino. Seriously, I don't know. And so, because we don't know what's going to happen, make some good provisions because you don't want to get stuck.
So we're just going to dust off our cold weather prep and kind of bring it to light. Just talk about it a little bit more this week so that we can refresh, right?
Yep.
So it's finally starting to turn to be a little chilly. You can pack up those rechargeable fans.
Your fans,
from the summer and dust off those panel heaters.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because again, there is no shame in using it for your chickens. They like to be warm too.
Once upon a time when I had fewer runs, I used to just wait until it was, you know, really chilly before I trotted them out. Now I really like the systemic preparation.
Oh.
Like, get them up in each coop so we can just flip a switch when it gets cold.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can start off with diet. So we'll talk a little bit about what you do differently for feeding your flocks when it gets cold.
Right. So right about now, your chickens are going through a molt, probably. Some are, some aren't. Some are going through a soft molt.
Some are coming out, right.
Some are going through a catastrophic molt. Some are coming out of it. We have people, we call our chickens people, in all different stages over here, right? So diet has to be a little pumped up in protein at this point, because protein's going to help those feathers grow nice and strong to get them ready for winter. Mm-hmm. And it also feeds their fire a little bit more.
Right, right. You can add some more scratch if you like to throw out some snacks here and there.
Corn is a good one for the winter.
General scratch. Corn is great. Just general mixed scratch grains that you can get at your local feed store. You know, add some of that in. That is not a feed.
Right.
You need to make sure your chickens eat their daily ration. But like we like to throw scratch out in the afternoon.
Yes. This is the thing. You want them to eat their food all day long. Okay. So that they get those nutrients from their actual food. When you want them to really rev up and have their body work hard to metabolize is while they're sitting still at night.
Right.
So giving them later evening snacks is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Corn, scratch, even some oatmeal.
Yeah.
Warmed oatmeal is a really good thing to do to prepare them for a chilly night.
The other thing that I do, I have greens growing at my place all year round, different kinds of greens. And I will plant fall greens, things that can survive frost.
Right.
I always have kale. I always plant kale this time of year.
Kale is a good thing to put with oats and corn.
And it survives in the cold.
And you can buy it at the grocery store.
You can buy it at the grocery store too. So I'll put kale in and I will put in mustards.
Now, here's a little thing that's kind of like one of those old wives' tales is some, I put in red pepper flakes.
I never do it.
I do it every time.
Some people swear by it.
I do. And what it's supposed to do is help blood circulation go to the extremities.
I mean, it might. It's loaded with capsaicin, so
yeah,
it
so
might.
I just sprinkle it in. And the other thing you can sprinkle in, I do it every time, is cinnamon. It's supposed to help with the respiratory system.
Cinnamon's good for everyone.
Yeah. So just sprinkle a little bit on that, on those oats and everything. And that's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the next thing that you're going to think about. Those runs.
Yeah. Prep your runs.
Runs are important.
And we are saying prep because we're getting older and we do not want to be out there in crappy weather trying to put stuff down.
First of all, my chickens will not walk on snow. But do I blame them? No. They're not wearing shoes. Their feet get cold.
It's cold.
So when it snows, I have to shovel the dang runs. Okay? There's something wrong with that, but
yeah,
not wrong
but
with
I remember
that.
When you first got the first four Orpingtons, they sat in that coop and gave you the stink eye.
They
until
would
you
not
shoveled.
Come out. And I mean, now all of them wait until you shovel. And I cannot blame them. They're not wearing boots.
The Swedish flowers were famous, Pansy and Petunia, when I first got them. They would fly over the snow, and then they would land in the middle of 2 feet of snow, and they would be like, help, pick us up.
They're stuck. Okay, so right about now is a time to add some more substrate. Take your untreated wood, your untreated mulch, and kind of build up from the ground. Because as the ground gets cold, we want something in between there.
Right.
That they're not directly on that frozen ground.
It gives them something to scratch at, too. Now, my girls will go out there. And, you know, on a warm fall day, they will dig up half the wood chips and make a giant hole.
Oh, yeah.
And so I have to do a lot of raking, but that's fine.
I do that all the time. Now, the other thing is we talked about the other week about the pallets. You can put those out
there
so that they have a place off the ground when the ground freezes off the ground. Now, make plans for mud relief because as it snows, guess what's going to happen? The snow is going to melt.
Yep.
And that's just like a bunch of rain, right?
Yeah, just sloppy
wet. So you're going to get mud. And my funny story is last week, Holly, Ann, and I had plans to go out on the other day before we worked. And I put on my new star pants. They have big stars all over.
Oh, the ones you got at the thrift shop. They're really cute.
I love them. And I go out to check on Stella in the run. It just rained the day before. And with Crocs on. And I slipped. And I was trying to save my pants, but I did not.
I got here. She says, we have to wait like 5 or 10 more minutes because my star pants were in the dryer because I had to wash mud off of them.
Mud and other things, let me tell you.
Yeah, mud and other things, yeah.
So right now, you want to cover up because they're going to slide and they can get injury due to sliding in mud also.
Right. Now, you can set up tarps for windbreaks or for run covers.
Oh, tarps are a must.
Just make sure that they're tied down properly. And if you use them over top of a run, you know, to keep, like, have a section of run with snow off, keep them cleaned off.
Keep them cleaned off because that weight can push down
on
your run. And the second thing is you don't want to encase your entire run because you do need ventilation.
Right.
So it is all well and good to be like, I'm encasing the entire thing, but we need air to be able to get through there.
Right.
So we talked about some really good, durable, good tarps the other week.
Yeah.
There's reasons why we were doing this stuff leading up to this, because this is the time that you're going to be setting up.
Right.
The clear ones work great. They collect the sunlight and they make it a little warmer in there, but I will not cover the entire run.
Right. regardless of what the top of your run is, whether you have a tarp on half of it or whether you have something like we have that really heavy deer netting on top of our runs, clean those off.
Clean everything off.
They're covered with leaves and sticks falling, all that stuff. Like you said, that extra weight. I've been out there, I kid you not, with a hoe trying to get the stuff off the top of the run.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the snow is just coming through the netting and I'm covered with snow.
I really want to cover just a part of it where they can huddle under.
Yeah, give them some shelter.
And the corners are really important because the corners are where that they can get windbreak from one side and the other. So if you do both sides of your corners and leave the middle open for ventilation, that works great too.
It does, yeah.
And then just have part of the top on one side so they can go under.
Right.
And it's less area that you have to shovel.
Exactly, also. Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Those chicken houses, those coops.
Clean and prep. And like we said earlier,
put away those fans.
You can do it the lazy way, which is to put them away uncleaned, which I will admit I do more than half the time. Or you can actually clean them and put them away so they're clean for spring.
You're either going to have to take them out and clean them off or clean them off first. One way or another, it's going to get done.
Exactly.
Who cares how, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, that's your choice.
So the heaters, you know, bring those out because there will be those days if you're in a cold weather area where you're going to need them. If it's 10 degrees, you wouldn't want to be out there in that, and they don't either.
Oh, this is one of my bugbears. You know, everyone on social media is saying, chickens have down coats. Chickens don't need heat. Chickens evolved with feathers. No, chickens are jungle fowl. Their basic genetic coding came from jungle fowl. Chickens were not made for ice and snow.
Unless you were dinosaur.
Viking people. Oh, dinosaur. Okay. But where we're going with this is there is a very real need for supplemental heat for some of these breeds. Don't let people heat shame you. It's ridiculous.
Do what you want.
If you have bantams, think about it. I mean, yeah. Do what's best and don't let anyone shame you for taking good care of your chickens.
No.
This is also a really good time to clean your vents, your screens, and your windows.
Right. That ventilation is important in the winter.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have good ventilation, stuff will freeze and then condensation builds up. And that can be a problem. That can bring on upper respiratory problems and lots of different things.
What you also don't want is a lot of ammonia fumes.
No, definitely
from buildup of litter in the coops. So clear out cobwebs and old feathers, clean out those vents, and make sure you keep the environment reasonably clean. Now, if you're doing deep litter, that's a different thing.
Right.
Deep litter does not mean just leaving all the poop in there and doing nothing.
And you should know what you're doing if you're doing deep
exactly.
litter. Exactly.
It's a thing.
It's
and
a process.
When it works right, it does a lot of really good things.
We don't do it. We clean the coops weekly, mm-hmm. so it doesn't build up for a long time and we clean it out.
Right.
So you do what's right for you with this.
Exactly.
So here's a big thing. Get now, because I've lived it when I first started ages ago, heated bowls. Because when you need them, they will be sold out. So get them now. You can get them at Tractor Supply on Amazon. You plug them in. It keeps the water from freezing.
Our favorite is the heated dog bowls.
The best.
I mean, you can get like livestock buckets, but that's harder for a chicken to drink out of. Just get the heated dog bowls.
That are made for dogs are great. They work really well.
I have a green one.
Oh, I have two blue ones.
Most of mine are blue, but I have a green one. Apple cider vinegar does not stop water from freezing. We're just going to bust a little myth there. It doesn't.
There are so many myths around apple cider vinegar. It's a really good thing, but it's been blown into this huge thing, a miracle. And it is what it is. It's apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, there are
it changes the pH in whatever you put it in.
There's some great health benefits. Great health benefits from it, but it's not going to stop your water from freezing, no matter what anyone tells you. If it's cold enough, your water's freezing.
Yes. Okay. So on that note, let's go on to the fun part.
Fun part. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a wreath? Do you have banners? This is the time to pull out your winter coop and run decorations.
Buntings and things like that.
Change the wreaths on the door. I have my wreaths on the door. I have to get to the fall ones.
They look cute.
I like them on there. It makes me happy.
Well, yeah, that's an important thing.
So here's the other thing. If you need any help, just message us. We are here to help you guys. If you have any questions, and if you want to get any of the products that we talk about, we have an Amazon storefront so that we can keep everything in one spot so that you know where to get it.
Right, right.
So go over there and check out the products that we talk about. They're all listed. Are you ready to move on to
cracking the eggs?
Cracking those eggs. Now, it's October.
Yeah, we're kicking off October with a bang.
So we're doing
pumpkin donuts
with our pumpkin spice coffee because we like pumpkin.
I don't have pumpkin spice coffee.
It's a great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. When's he coming? He never comes. That is the worst.
The problem is she is a, the gray pumpkin is a she.
Oh, well, that's whatever. The problem. He or she, they never, well, she they, just, she they never come.
They never come.
Okay.
So we're making donuts.
Yeah.
We're making donuts. This recipe is very easy to convert to gluten and dairy free, of course. Now, eggs are getting scarce.
I know.
Because, you know, everyone's molting, blah, blah, blah. This recipe only needs two eggs.
That's so a good easy recipe. Peasy.
We have drizzled the finished donuts with chocolate glaze, which is ridiculously good. But you can also make a maple or cinnamon glaze, or you can even dip them in the cinnamon sugar topping.
That's really easy to do.
Yeah.
And you can buy that already made.
You can,
McCormick
right.
McCormick has it.
Right. My mom always just had a thing of it that she made herself.
And they put like little circus animals to draw the kids in.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, on the bottles.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come pick me up.
I wonder how much that costs. I mean, because seriously, you can get a nice thing of cinnamon for a dollar or two.
Oh, but the bottles were great.
Okay. Anyway, so these are baked donuts, not deep fried, but they do require a donut pan.
Do you have a donut pan? I do.
I have one or two, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you can make them in muffin pans if necessary.
There's also donut makers. I think I might have one.
What the heck's a donut maker?
Like one of those things you fold over.
And like a Pizzelle iron?
Yeah, but it's a donut maker. I've made
crazy
donuts in it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I like making
donuts.
Well,
these are delicious. These are delicious baked cake donuts.
Well, you can make them in there, too.
Wow. Fancy.
It's
what do you know?
Fancy donut maker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go through ingredients for the donuts. 1 cup of all-purpose flour or gluten-free flour. 1 teaspoon of baking powder because we need some rise, baby. 3/4 cup of pumpkin puree. 1/4 cup of vegetable oil because we need it. 2 eggs. So the other day when I got 6, you'd be good.
Yep.
3/4 cup of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of ginger, 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, all those fall spices. And mm-hmm. Here we go, a pinch of cloves because that's all about fall too. And you can't do anything without a pinch of salt.
Did you say the vanilla extract?
And 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, if I did not say it, but if not.
I'm not sure, but we're good.
I always eyeball it every time. I never measure vanilla.
And then we have the chocolate glaze. It's easy to make.
How are we going to make this? We're going to mix 1/2 cup of chocolate chips or dairy-free, gluten-free chocolate chips. I thought they were already all that way anyway.
No. A lot of them have dairy in them.
Unless you got the milk chocolate chips. So the semi are still gluten.
Most of them are still, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then 1 teaspoon of vegetable oil. That's for the melting everything so that it melts all evenly together.
The thing about donuts, every time I make donuts, I forget how easy they are to make. And then I make them and I'm like, why do I not make these more often?
Yeah, because, you know.
It's not hard.
My parents complain that Dunkin' Donuts donuts are getting smaller and smaller. Then we need to make our own so that they're healthier, better, fresher.
These aren't huge, but I don't need a huge donut. So you're going to preheat your oven to 350 and grease or spray your donut pan and set it aside. You want a medium-sized bowl. You're going to combine the flour and the baking powder. In a larger bowl, you're going to combine the pumpkin, the oil, the eggs, sugar, vanilla, and the spices. Whisk all of that until it's combined.
It's the same as like when you do pumpkin bread.
Yeah, it's
when
similar.
You put all that stuff
mm-hmm.
together.
All the moist stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to add the flour mixture and whisk until it's just blended. Don't ever mix it. This depends on how pretty you want your donuts. You can spoon the batter in like I do, or you can pipe it in. The batter's kind of sticky, and I find spooning the easiest, but the piping looks a lot better.
It's going to make it uniform.
Yeah, it looks much, much prettier.
And it's another little gadget that you can use.
Bake your donuts for about 15 or 16 minutes. You're going to let them cool for 5 or 10 before you turn them out onto a cooling rack. Once they are completely cool, combine your chocolate chips and oil in a small bowl. Microwave them about 30 seconds at a time, stirring really well after each time.
And you could do this on half power because it works a little bit better.
You can.
It won't burn them.
You can also double this if you want.
Right.
And honestly, you could do 1 cup of chocolate chips, 2 teaspoons of vegetable oil, and in a wide shallow bowl, you could just dip your donuts in if you want to.
Right.
You can do it however you want. We just drizzled because it's the easiest. So anyway, you microwave them 30 seconds at a time, stirring well after each time until the oil is completely mixed into the melted chocolate.
Yummy and on then, a Saturday morning.
Right. And then again, at this point, you can use a spoon or a piping bag to drizzle the glaze over the top of the donuts. These are really, really, really good.
Are they really good?
They're really, really, really good.
I mean, it's pumpkin donuts. And donuts. If you like pumpkin, you're going to like pumpkin donuts. And the thing I like about this recipe is you can make it your own. Make the topping what you want. If you like little chopped up peanuts on top of pumpkin donuts, put them on.
Yeah, you can.
If you like cinnamon sugar, I like the cinnamon sugar or chocolate drizzle. Make it your own. Have fun. Have the kids help you with it.
I've made this with mini chocolate chips in the batter.
Yeah, you can play around and with do this anything recipe. With them. Mm-hmm. So try it. You might like it. And if you try it, send us pictures because we'd love to give you a story. Are you ready to move on to retail therapy? Retail therapy.
Yeah.
This week's retail therapy, it's a really good product that just came out that we love.
Right. Grubly Farms has just released prebiotics and probiotics for your flock's water.
In powder form. And this is something that we love, these products that you mix right in the water, because chickens are going to be drinking all day and they can get the good stuff that they need in the water.
And this works for chickens of all ages. You can use this with chicks. You can use this all the way up to geriatric hens. They have two different water additives right now.
Right.
There are prebiotics and probiotics, which is really fantastic for a lot of reasons. One of the things we love is that it comes with a small scoop.
I love the small scoop. It's economical and it's easy. Rather than the big putting a ton of stuff in your water, the scoop is so tiny. The amount that you're going to use of this per gallon of water is awesome.
Yeah, it's about a gram. It's not a lot.
It's
but
not
apparently
a lot.
It really goes a long way.
I love it.
They have two sizes too, and the small size treats 30 gallons of water.
It's awesome.
That's pretty good. The large size, let's see, the small size is 1.5 ounces. The large size is 3.17 ounces, and it makes, let's see here, 90 gallons of water.
That's amazing.
That's really, really good. Economical.
Right, because some of the supplements, you're putting a lot in per gallon, so you get a big bottle, and you think this is going to get you really far, but it doesn't. This scoop is small.
I also like that these stay good until August of 2025.
That's amazing.
It's a really nice long shelf life.
So if you have a flock of four and you get one large, that's going to last you a long time.
It really is, yeah.
And the prebiotics and the probiotics are going to help with digestive health. If your chickens have to be on antibiotics for anything.
Times of stress, heat and cold.
This is awesome. The vitamins and electrolytes you're going to use for the same reason. If, you know, they need a little boost, if it's cold or hot outside, electrolytes can definitely help
hot those weather,
things.
Yeah.
So I love the containers. I love the scoops. I love the fact that you're going to know exactly how many gallons you're going to get out of this.
I like the containers too. It's a white plastic container with a pretty lavender colored label.
It is. It's going to sit right with your chicken stuff and you're going to know what it is. And I love the fact that this is a small amount per gallon of water, that they condensed it and concentrated it to make it
that. You can't tell. Like, your water's not cloudy. When we mix these in, the water just looked clear.
Right.
And this chickens drank it just like they always do.
The other thing is, it has a really good smell to it.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure the chickens are going to love the taste of it when you give it to them. But, you know, you can get it over on Grubly Farm's website. These are just awesome, awesome products. And you can't go wrong with Grubly Farms. Now, here they give you the one-time purchase is $19.99 for the 30-day. And it equals, they tell you right here, to 67 cents per day.
Pretty good.
To give your chickens the vitamins and minerals, the prebiotics, the probiotics. And I love about this is you can mix these all together.
Right, right. You can, yeah, vitamins and electrolytes can go in and the prebiotics and probiotics can go in at the same time.
It's an amazing product. Go to Grubly Farms and check it out.
Good stuff.
So, should we tell everybody what we're going to be talking about next week?
Next week, we are spotlighting another American breed, the New Hampshire.
Love them.
Main topic, Merrick's is in your flock. Now what?
Yes, what are you going to do?
Cracking the eggs. So, we're doing chestnut flour gnocchi.
Because you've got a million chestnuts in your yard.
And because we both love Italian food. Retail therapy, we are reviewing the Flockstar app for those of you who really like to keep records for your flocks.
This is really cool.
It's good stuff.
Okay, so what should we tell everybody to do until next week?
Hug your chickens.
Every day and kiss them too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to see more of us, please follow us on Instagram at Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. If you'd like to help us grow the podcast, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Thanks for listening. Ha 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 ha!